Hi, I'm Lou Graham. Now, why don't you listen for the Life Minute podcast? It's a real good one.
Legendary rock band Foreigner is celebrating 50 years of music with new U.S. tour dates, a new musical coming out early next year, and a new frontman. I sat down with original frontman Lou Graham, whose unmistakable voice powered their biggest hits. I'm Joanne Butler, and this is a Life Minute with Lou Graham.
You're going back out with Foreigner.
Yes, the new Foreigner has been actually playing as Foreigner for over 20 years now. They play the songs really well. It's a lot of fun playing those songs with them.
How did it all come to be that you would go out on the road with them?
It's the 50th anniversary this year of the Foreigner 4 album. In any other instance, Mick would be touring with them. I'm not sure you know, but he's not in good health. And he's unable to tour, so I volunteered to be the original member that goes out with them. And I'm singing about a half a dozen songs. We're having a lot of fun, and the guys play the songs greatly, and we've established some good friendships.
Oh, that's wonderful. Beautiful. What about Lewis? How's Lewis doing?
He's doing terrific.
You like his voice?
I sing harmonies with him on a bunch of songs that he sings, and he's got a terrific voice and a great attitude. He was there long before I became re-involved. And he's a terrific singer. And he plays guitar, too, very well.
Aw, that's great. What songs are you going to be singing?
Oh, I think I'm going to be singing Urgent, Luann, and Woman in Black, Jukebox Hero with Lewis. And I think I Want to Know What Love Is with Lewis, too.
Beautiful. Awesome. Do you have any favorites?
And that's like asking me if which of my kids is my favorite, you know?
Yeah. Oh, so you mentioned Mick. Are you still in touch with Mick?
Yes.
Oh, I think it's beautiful that you stepped in and you're going to be there. It's wonderful. It's going to be so great. I'm sure a lot of people are really excited to see it.
It's a lot of fun playing with this band.
How does it feel compared to your band?
It's different, and it's different than playing with the original Foreigner, too, but it's no better or worse. It's still the songs, and it's done with a lot of feeling. We get great response for it.
You sure do. It's hard to believe 50 years. And,
I know
you
it.
know, isn't it? Did you ever imagine that?
No, because, you know, when Foreigner started, bands were only lasting maybe a decade, if that, you know, and then they were gone. And I assumed that we would be like that, too.
And then also with the Broadway show. That's really interesting, too.
Yes,
Broadway
it
show
is.
coming out. Wow, with Adam Pascal. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I remember about 3 or 4 years ago going to Toronto to hear a group that wanted to bring a musical to Broadway, and they were pretty good, but the actual story itself needed some work, and that kind of fell through. So when I heard about a Broadway play again, I was wondering if it was the same people, but it's a completely different cast. It's a new director and producer, and I haven't heard them yet, but I hear that they're terrific, and I'm going to be hearing them when they open. Matter of fact, I'm going to be there to introduce them.
Oh, it's fantastic. Did you always know you wanted to be a musician, Lou?
I did, yes.
You did.
My mom and my dad were musicians. My dad had a big 12-piece band back in the mid-40s, you know, a jazz band like Harry James or Tommy Dorsey. They were good, but some of the criticisms were that they needed a singer. So my dad auditioned a number of girls, and the girl that won ended up being my mother.
Wow.
Well, she wasn't my mother then, but she ended up being the singer in the band, and then her and my dad fell in love.
Wow, that's amazing. What a story.
Sounds like a movie, doesn't it?
That's amazing. And how old were you when you realized you could sing too?
Probably around 6 or 7 years old.
Wow. And did they know it too? Did they spot it right away?
My parents?
Yeah.
Not really.
Really?
Not right away.
When did they know?
When they started hearing me singing along with the radio. Whatever
Oh,
was on the radio, I was singing
oh,
along.
gotcha. Okay.
No, I was only 8 or 9 years old. You
Okay.
know, the other thing was I was a drummer too, and I got my first drum set when I was about 9 years old. And my dad would come down with his trumpet, and he would play some of the old big band songs that he played when he was younger, and I would play the drums along with him. And then my mom would come down, this was in the basement, my mom would come down the basement stairs swinging her dish towel, and she would start singing.
Oh.
And we had awesome jam sessions, just the three of us.
Oh, it's so cool. I love it.
Now, my older brother was being taught how to play trumpet by my dad, but I had my drums set up, and I would practice my drums every day after I got home from school. And then I'd put the sticks down and I'd run outside and go play with my friends down the street. When we'd have dinner, after dinner, I'd go back downstairs to play my drums again. And my seat was low. I couldn't even hit the snare drum. I couldn't even reach the cymbals. And I'm going, what's going on here? So the next day, I fixed everything up. I played my drums. And instead of going down the street to my friend's house, I ran around the back of the house and I was looking in the basement window. And who comes down the stairs? My brother Ben. And he sits down at the drums and adjusts them all to his height. He was about a foot taller than me. And then he starts playing. And I was like, because he was good, self-taught, and he was really good. Oh boy, it was rough hearing somebody learn so fast and be so good, you know. While I was just at a regular pace, he blew by me in less than a half a year. And he ended up going to Berklee School of Music for percussion. Now he's my drummer.
Did your parents see you become famous?
Yes, they did.
They did. Oh, it's wonderful.
I've got pictures backstage with them the first time we played the Rochester War Memorial. You know, Rochester is where I live. So it was my mom and dad and myself in a really nice picture.
Oh, that's beautiful. Love it. When did you say, you know what? I'll let my brother do the drums and I'm just going to sing. When did that happen?
Right away. Well, it was about that time that in my own band that we were looking for a lead singer because I was singing everything and playing drums, and it was very difficult to do both of them well. So we auditioned singers and we couldn't find any singers, but we found a good drummer. So I went up to the front and the other guy played drums.
How did Foreigner begin with Mick? How did you guys get together?
Well, Mick was in a band called Spooky Tooth, and they were a very good band, and they came to Rochester, New York, where I lived, to play a show. And Black Sheep's manager worked for A&M Records on his day gig, and Spooky Tooth was on A&M Records. So we got free tickets to go see Spooky Tooth, and after the show, we got to go backstage and meet them. And I carried the two Black Sheep albums with me, and we met all the guys at Spooky Tooth. And as fate would have it, I gave the two albums to Mick, and I says, this is our band. I hope you like it. It wasn't long after that that we got the slot to open the show for the Kiss Tour. That would have been huge because we just released our second album. We could have promoted both albums playing in the opening position for the show. And we played the first night of the tour, we played Boston. We went on, and when we were finished, we're starting to walk off the stage and we were getting a standing ovation.
Wow.
And we went to Kiss's tour manager, you know, like, what do we do? He says, you go back out there and you play another song. When you get an ovation like that, you go play another song. I said, really? He says, yeah, go on, get out there. So we played another song and we came off stage and there were standing ovation again. He says, you did well. That's enough now. So we went back and we changed our clothes and we sat down to watch Kiss play. And that was terrific. They were good too. Then we got in the band station wagon. The guys in the band got in the band station wagon. We drove back to Rochester. This was Christmas Eve, 1975. Okay.
Oof.
Yep. And I made it back to Rochester about 3:30, quarter to 4 in the morning. I went to sleep. At about 6:15, I got a call from the head of the crew saying that the equipment truck slid off the New York State Thruway after it hit a patch of ice and went off the road and tipped over. And I said, you guys okay? He says, we're banged and bruised up, but we're okay. And I says, and how about the equipment? He says, I can't tell. We can't get the door open. It's jammed shut. He says, but we got somebody to write the truck on four wheels, and then they put it on the back of a tow bed and brought it, took it off the thruway into a little town and parked it in front of a gas station. And he said, and that's where we are. Can you come and pick us up? So about 5 in the morning, I got a hold of our bass player and we got back in our station wagon and went and picked up the guys that had the accident and brought them back to Rochester so they could be with their families on Christmas. Okay? And the day after Christmas, a couple of us got back in the band car and we drove back to where the truck was. And the people at the gas station had jammed the door up so we could see the equipment. And about 80% of it was destroyed. The amplifiers, the drums were smashed to pieces. The Hammond B3 had the legs knocked off it. And we were supposed to be in Florida 2 days later to play our next show with Kiss. I called Kiss's tour manager and I told him what happened. And I says, we asked our parents to help us get some used equipment so we can keep touring with you. I said, but you know, it's a recession. They're barely making their house payments. He says, Don't bother with your parents, he says. Go to Capitol Records. You just made a new album. They should back you up with new equipment and a truck so you can promote the album and make everybody money.
Right.
So we called our contact at Capitol Records and told them what happened. And she said, oh, that's a tragedy. I says, can they help us with some money so we can keep touring with Kiss? She says, well, we're in a big meeting now. I'll bring that up and I'll call you back later in the day. And she called us back later in the day and she says, no, they won't do it. And they're dropping you from the label.
Wow, you're kidding.
Basically, that was the end of the band.
Then
We
what?
would meet about once a week at one of the band members' house and talk about getting part-time jobs and maybe getting some used equipment and starting to play clubs again, you know? And that didn't really sound so good to anybody, but we didn't know what else to do. And during one of those meetings, my dad called over there. And so I took the call, and my dad says, some guy named Mick Jones called me and wants to talk to you. I says, really? And he says, yeah. He says, he left his number. I says, I'll get it from you later, Dad. So I didn't say anything to the band members, but I did call him back, and he remembered me. And he says, I listened to your albums. He goes, they're good albums. He says, boy, you're a really fine singer. And he says, I'm not in Spooky Tooth anymore. I says, I'm starting my own band. He says, and I have some of the players already with me. He says, but we're looking for the right singer now. Can you come to New York and audition? He says, I'll get you a plane ticket. You know, I says, I'm still in Black Sheep. We're still trying to remedy our situation or at least come to some conclusion about what, if anything, we're going to do. I said, can you call me back in 2 weeks? He says, yes. So during those 2 weeks, we decided that we didn't have the money to do anything and we were just going to end Black Sheep.
No.
So then I told them about Mick and they says, you've got to go there. I says, I wasn't going to go anyplace until we had a conclusion about what the band was going to do. I says, now I can go there without feeling like I'm japping out the band, you know?
Yeah.
So they wish me good luck and I got the job.
Wow. What a story. That's amazing.
Yes, it is.
Well, if that didn't happen, Foreigner would never have been. So, well, there you
Well, they would
go.
have got somebody else, you know,
Yeah,
and
well.
maybe Black Sheep would have reformed and done good, but it turned out the way it's supposed to turn out, you know?
And the rest is history, as they say. When did you know it wasn't going to work? Why did you leave?
After Foreigner 4, we weren't playing a lot of rock songs on our new album. We were playing all mid-tempo and ballads. And Mick wasn't picking up his guitar very much. He was playing keyboards and stuff. And while they were good songs, they weren't rock songs. And we are a rock band. So I started to get very tense and upset about the direction that the band was going. And when we'd play these new songs live, we weren't getting a lot of response because people wanted our rock songs and we weren't playing them. At some point, I just decided that I didn't want to be in a band like this anymore, you know, and I gave my notice and left. And I did my solo album, started doing my solo albums then, and they were rock. After about 4 or 5 years, Mick called me on the phone and told me that he was getting ready to record a new album and he'd like to play me some of the ideas, and they were all guitar rock ideas. So then he asked me to come back to the band, and I did.
And the Rock Hall of Fame induction.
It was awesome.
Congratulations. That was it awesome?
Was awesome, but it could have been so much better if it had come 10 years earlier. We were eligible 20 years ago, and we weren't nominated. If we had been nominated and inducted all that time ago, Ian McDonald would still be alive. Mick would still be in better health and ready to play. The original band could have got on stage and performed some of those songs at our induction. But as it stood, the new Foreigner played that night. And they played well, you know, but it just wasn't the same. See, there was somebody in that organization that was keeping us out of the Rock Hall of Fame. They were more or less making sure that we didn't get enough votes.
Oh my
And it's
God.
supposed to be a unanimous vote, so we'd have six yeses and one no, and that
Oh
would keep us
my
from getting in.
God. Wow.
And that happened for about 8 or 10 years in a row. And we finally found out who it was, and the rest of the board of directors fired that person.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but it was a little too late. By the time we did get voted in, one member was passed away. The other one,
Yeah.
Mick, is not well enough to even play at all.
Yeah. Do you think he knew, though, that you didn't
Yes,
understand?
because we called him on the phone when we received the award, and we're talking to him over the phone while the audience was listening to the conversation. We were telling him that This award is mostly for you, Mick, because you had the foresight to put the band together, and your input on the songs, was largely responsible for us getting to this point. I know he heard that, and I think he started to get emotional. It felt good at that moment to let him know that we were not only proud of ourselves, but particularly proud of him.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, you've been through a lot too. You suffered a brain tumor.
Yes.
What would your current self say to your younger self with all you've been through?
You're lucky you're here. You're blessed that you're here. I went to three brain surgeons, and they all did MRIs, and they sent me home to put my affairs in order because they didn't think I had a chance of surviving the operation.
My God.
The last one that sent me home that night, I watched 2020 or 60 Minutes on TV, and there was a segment about a brain surgeon in Boston who used laser surgery to operate on inoperable tumors.
Wow.
And at the end of the segment, they gave his phone number. So at 8 o'clock the next morning, I was on the phone with his secretary, and that was on a Tuesday. And they brought me in Thursday, and I did some more tests. And Friday morning at 4 in the morning, they were wheeling me into the operating room.
Wow. Are you
19-hour operation.
Oh, how? Oh my gosh. That's unbelievable. What year was that? How long ago
This
was
was
that?
1990, 1997.
Oh, not that long. Wow, that's incredible.
And
Another incredible story. Oh my God.
although the operation was a success, he told me that I was going to be going through some struggles. My equilibrium would be off. I might not be able to find all the words I want to find in a conversation right away.
Yeah.
And he told me he didn't want me touring for at least a year and a half. And 2 months later, I was on the road
Wow, amazing.
against his wishes. And I couldn't remember the words of the songs. I had them written out in a semicircle around my mic stand. Every time I'd come to a verse I couldn't remember, I'd look down and see the words. I'd read the first three words, and then the rest of it would come to me.
Oh, and then it just eventually came back to you.
Yes. Yep.
How long did that take?
Couple months.
Oh, wow, that's not even that long.
Not
Amazing.
long, but it was a long time
Oh.
for me, you know.
Yeah. Who were your inspirations growing up?
As a band, the Beatles, and the band Free, the band Free. All right now. Yeah, they were an inspiration, including the singer Paul Rodgers, who eventually formed Bad Company. Yep. Steve Winwood from Traffic. Steve Marriott from Humble Pie. Those were my main vocal inspirations, yeah. And song, they were great songwriters too.
How do you take care of your voice, hone your voice? Do you do any exercises or anything now?
I still take lessons from a gentleman who's in his mid-80s. He sang opera and Broadway shows. And even though he's in his mid-80s, he still can sing like a bird. And he shows me t his technique that I pick up and use. So when I'm doing two or three shows in a row, I can get through the shows and still sing well.
Well, you sure do. Your voice is still beautiful. And
Thank
you
you.
always know it's you. When you're singing that, you always know that's Lou Gramm's voice. You have that voice that nobody has it.
Oh, that's
Nobody
nice.
can touch
Thank you
it.
so much.
What do you do to relax when you're not working?
I like my sports. I like watching it live or on television. I also collect muscle cars from the
Oh, wow.
60s.
I see you have a couple behind you there.
Oh, yes, on the wall, yes. And I have five of them myself.
Wow.
And I go to cruise nights and car shows and stuff. That's my hidden passion, and also my children. I have five children who I really love,
Wow.
from
Oh.
age 45 down to age 7.
Are they all close by?
Yes, they are.
Oh, good. It's something that you stayed there too in Rochester, you
Yes, for that
know?
reason.
That's cool.
Certainly not the weather. Spring, summer, and fall are beautiful here. Winter is long and bitter.
Yeah. What sports? Who do you root for?
I root for the Mets.
All
I
right.
root for the Bills football team.
Very nice. You binge watch anything else?
If I find I like the series Deadwood, I missed a lot of it because I was on the road. So now I started the very first show and go through 2 years of it straight through.
Favorite comfort food?
Pasta. Pasta is my favorite regular food, and I think banana cake is my
Mm.
favorite dessert to put a banana muffin, banana nut muffins.
Yeah, me too. That's one of mine too. Good one, good one. What does music do for people?
It loosens them up so their emotions are not pent up. Their emotions get away from them and do what emotions are supposed to do. Make people loose enough to emote and let their feelings be unencumbered. Feelings aren't pent up when you hear good music, kind of just is there,
That's good. And you're still going to be touring with your own band too, right? Are you going to go back
Yes.
out or?
Yes, it's the Lou Gramm All Stars, and I have great people playing. I have my brother Ben playing drums, Scott Gilman playing sax and rhythm guitar. He was with Foreigner about 12 or 15 years ago. Jeff Jacobs was with Foreigner in the 80s and the 90s. Gary Hoey playing guitar, who's a great player. He's got his own albums out. He does very well for himself. He's a terrific player and loves playing our stuff. I think that's about it.
Wow.
Yes, I have a new album coming out in September. It's all brand new songs, and I've been working on it for about a year and a half.
Wow.
And I think it's a very well-written and emotive album with very strong songs. I hope it gets promoted well and sells big, and we hope to go on the tour to promote it. At the end of that tour, I'm retiring.
Wow. Real.
Yep.
So you say. We'll see.
I've made up my mind. I've
Really?
almost done it a few times.
Yeah.
I still probably will tinker and write some songs, but I don't want to be on the road anymore, or I just don't. I've seen everything there is to see.
Well, good for you. You deserve it.
Yep, I've just had enough, that's all.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'll check in with you a bit
Okay.
later when we'll see.
Okay. You're on. You're on.
Oh, well, gosh, it's been such an honor and a pleasure to talk to you.
I've enjoyed myself a
Thank
lot.
you so
You
much.
give good interviews.
Oh, thank you. To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Life Minute TV.